I tell you, it's a very socially inclusive show, isn't it, today? It's Balls Radio, ballsradio.com. I'm Phil Dobby. Finally, Stilgarian, to talk technology. And you find him sitting in a pub in the cold in the Blue Mountains. What a perfect setting. Cold night, warm beer, I presume. Are you there, Stilgarian?
Oh, no. You've got to have a cold beer with it and bangers and mash. But yes, we're doing this from the pub because the train back from Sydney was delayed because of a medical emergency, and then it was cold, and then I was hungry, and sod it. I'm having a beer.
Right. Sounds like a very good idea. And you couldn't possibly make the journey home without that, ale. So, and eating out. So do you, I mean, you're a single man, do you ever actually cook for yourself, or is it always just the pub every night?
I don't much these days. I used to do a lot of cooking, even for myself, and I enjoy cooking. But not at the moment. And it's just real laziness and not knowing where you are from one day to the next. It's kind of,
happens, doesn't it?
You know, it does. As you get on.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's hard cooking for one.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's not actually any harder, is it, really?
But portion control just goes straight out the window, doesn't it?
That's right. A recipe for four? Well, I can't be. Yeah, exactly. I can't be bothered trying to figure out how to adjust the ingredients accordingly. So why the hell not? Yeah. So you want to talk? Well, we're not here to talk about it. I mean, we could change this swiftly to a cooking segment if that would be easier for you. But for now,
well, yes, and then we could get all of Alan Jones's BMW advertising.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of it going around, swirling around at the moment. Instead, we're going to talk about fishing.
Yes. Yeah.
So
with a pH.
That's right.
Fish. But
fishing. So, but in particular, spear fishing. So, for the uninitiated, I mean, fishing is basically where someone sends you an email to try and get you to a website to provide your login details so they can snaffle details about you.
Yeah. The classic one is they just randomly send you an email from a bank, ANZ or Westpac or Commonwealth or whoever, and telling you that there's some problem with your account and you need to click through and log in. And of course, a certain percentage of people receiving that spam email will be customers of that bank, and a certain proportion of those people will be silly enough to think that a bank works this way and click through. So that's phishing. It's an attempt to get login details, and that's a pretty solid amount of spam traffic these days. The old idea of a virus that was attached to the email itself is pretty much gone now, simply because antivirus software has got so good at it, and people kind of know that there should not be executable program files attached to an email and stuff like that. So that's mostly gone, but what spam has now is just like a link to some other site. And in fact, 92% of spam has a link in it. That's according to some research released this week by WebSense, who's an information security company, and they do content filtering and email filtering and spam filtering and pornography filtering, any kind of filtering on the internet you need to do. And while some of it is the kind of, the taste of the content, it's either adult material or it's illegal or whatever, they're also doing this to look at security issues. So they're constantly looking at the spam to learn, well, what's in it. So,
and is it working
elsewhere?
Is it working for them? I mean, because I would have thought now most people would be very aware of this. Having said this, I have fallen for it myself, and I would have, you would have thought I'd be the last person to fall for it. I did fall for one a couple of months ago, and good, as I was doing it, I quickly thought, oh my God, this is downloading a file.
And I nearly did one myself because it was there's a problem with your PayPal account and you need to click through to case number whatever. Yeah. And it just happened to arrive in a week where I was negotiating a problem with PayPal about my account. So I was exchanging email with PayPal and looking at their policies. So, it's a numbers game. And the fact that the spam is sent from botnets, networks of hacked computers numbering, hundreds of thousands, even millions of computers. The big botnets can send billions of emails a day. So you only need a tenth of 1% of people to actually fall for it. And that's still, you know, pretty big numbers when you look at it globally.
Mm. And there is a, I mean, it is a high percentage, isn't it, of email that's going around that is actually spam. We don't necessarily see it all because some of that is filtered either by our, you know, by our Microsoft Outlook or whatever we're using on our computer or in the network.
Oh, a lot of it's, yeah, in the network, as you say, a lot of it's filtered out well before you even see it in your company's or your email provider's spam filters. And then you've got it in Outlook if you use that or Apple Mail or whatever. And it's actually one of the frustrations of systems administrators when five spam emails arrive in the one day and people complain about the deluge of spam and the fact that their filtering isn't working. And it's like, guys, there's thousands that you didn't see that we've already removed.
Yeah, let us send the ones you're missing just to get, so you get a sense of proportioning. So tell me about spear phishing then. What's the difference here? I mean, the spear phishing, to me, it's implying it's something a little bit more targeted.
Exactly that. Whereas the
it's not actually that it's implied. It's I actually know the answer. Let's be honest about it. I was trying I was trying to sound genuine there. I know all about what spear phishing is, but not lots of people don't. So still, Gary, and tell us.
Yeah, look, it is targeted. So instead of it just being spread in the hundreds of thousands or millions of emails out in just the hope of picking up some victims, this is more of an attempt to target a specific organization.
Right.
For example, there was a case only a few days ago where it was alleged that Chinese hackers had attempted to get into the email network of the White House in the United States. And you can do that by you send an email that is addressed to people you know what their job is in the White House. They might be a human resources person or they might be the catering staff or whatever it might be. So you send to the executive chef at the White House some material related to a supplier that he does do business with, and you copy their email exactly and send it through. Mm. And either attached to that email is a PDF file that is loaded with a weapon, if you like. It's weaponized. It's been trojaned, or a link to another website. And often the other website, you know, you think, oh, yeah, but I'm not going to click through to badwebsite.com. But in May of this year, the Amnesty International site in the UK was actually compromised so that people going to look at Amnesty International to get news about whatever were finding that their computers were getting infected.
Right. So, in fact, I mean, because that's the normal thing you look at, isn't it? You look at the link and you say, hang on a second, where is this going to send me? And you look at the URL and you find, oh, look, it's Westpac, but it's got a K after the C.
.com. PayPal with a 1 instead of the L at the end.
Yeah, so it probably won't go there. But what you're saying is, in some cases, maybe there's a part of that domain that's infected and they're sending you to a file which is on a legitimate domain. But
it's buried down some obscure spot within that web server, sure. And and this points to the level of sophistication and the organization and planning that goes with these operations, that they pick sites that are not going to raise concerns for the target organization. So, I don't know if it's a you're trying to break into a mining company, and if you were, say, a certain sort of Asian superpower, you might want to know in advance what the negotiating position is on the next shipment of iron ore. Yeah. You want to break into a mining company. Well, you don't try and break into the mining company computer network because they've got a really good information security team. You break into the little boutique law firm that they use to check the contract.
You say you've done this. I mean, you are contracted doing this for people. You seem to know so much about this and the ways. But if this is like this is espionage, isn't it? I mean, pure and simple.
Absolutely. It's hard to sort of separate nation state and commercial espionage in China, although they do have an increasing capitalist system, but they don't see culturally any different between the two. It's the national interest. The French don't either. But in theory, the United States and I think Australia as well, their organisations do not do commercial espionage, so they say.
So they say, absolutely. So how do we know how prevalent this is? Because you'd assume that any company that gets hit is going to keep stum on it. I mean, they're not going to want to know.
Oh, absolutely.
So how do we have any idea how big a problem spear phishing is?
Well, a guy called Dmitry Alperovich, who was the head of research for McAfee, another big information security firm in the US, until recently is off doing something else now. But when I spoke to him last year, he said, there's really only two kinds of companies on the internet, those that know they've been penetrated by someone else and those that don't know.
Mm.
And, you know,
so it's happened to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. And again, they're not going to suddenly say, ha, 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 we've hacked your network and make a big deal about it. They're going to move very slowly, very carefully, try not to raise the alarm. The people who make the kind of security defensive software for these networks have found that, you know, they might break in through one computer, you know, in human resources or somewhere. And that gives them access to a certain part of the network when they've taken over a computer there. And then they might do nothing for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then make a very quiet attack. Let's see if we can get into an engineering department computer, because we'd like to see the plans for that new jet fighter that Lockheed Martin is building.
So is email part of the problem here? I mean, is it the fact that everyone is communicating by email? Are there more secure ways that within organizations they could be communicating? Like, is instant messaging, for example, a better solution? Because at least you're sort of like having a conversation with the same person.
And yes, you're only talking to specific computers. I mean, the one problem with email as a protocol, as a method of transferring information, is that it has to accept inbound communications from pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Because you know, anyone is allowed to email you. Whereas, you know, if you have a more closed group, or you're, I don't know, communicating via posting things on a Facebook page or a corporate equivalent of that, then you're only accepting a connection from that computer at Facebook or wherever. Or you wouldn't really use Facebook, obviously. But, you know, that reduces the attack surface, is the technical term for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you say Facebook, I mean, what you're saying is there are a lot of large corporations now using something a bit like Facebook as a way of communicating, but it's a closed group.
There's tools like Yammer, Salesforce.com has their new social features as part of the social business.
But as you say, you know everyone you're communicating with is within the organization, though, within the sort of the within the firewall, I guess. So you don't have that problem.
But even then, what if you're one of these major defense engineering contracting companies that has 60,000 employees?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just, you know, you won't know who everyone is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you won't know who is sending a message from, I'm picking on human resources a lot, but, you know, HR will send you, here's the new policy for approving family leave or some such thing. Click and read.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'd like to see a piece of research pinpointing that human resources is basically responsible for almost all of this, plus
thought crime.
Yeah, most of the ills within the corporate world I've found actually come from human resources, but maybe absolutely. Maybe I'm overstating it there, but I think I'm pretty close to the truth.
No, I think this is pretty much it.
It's still going. Sounds like it's starting to get. It's quieting down now. Actually, I was going to say it sounds like it's getting a bit rowdy there. But
No. Just a few of the regulars in here on a cold Thursday night.
You've painted a beautiful picture for us, sitting there in the Blue Mountains. A cold beer in your hand. It should be warm, obviously.
That's your cultural heritage there, sir.
So get shining through. And a nice warm meat pie. Sounds perfect. Still going. We look forward to you painting another equally as beautiful picture for us next week. Thanks for coming on.
From some other random spot.
Some other random spot, absolutely. From a ditch by roadside, perhaps. Speak to you then. See you soon.
Cheers, Phil. See you later.